news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Episode number 8 of the Rexplex, just 2 shows short of a huge 10th episode anniversary blowout event party spectacular. You can follow on Twitter at the Rexplex, like us on Facebook, or join the group page for some fun discussion and more. Just search the Rexplex on Facebook. You can email us at therexplex@gmail.com. You know that I am always willing to hear any comments, take any questions, answer anything that you might want to hear come out of the mouth of Mr. Rex Watson, who is me, your host, Rex Watson. And I want to say Happy New Year to everyone. I hope you had great holidays. I hope if you have family, you spend time with your family. If you didn't spend time with your family, you had a great time by yourself, or maybe made some new friends and made a new family. Not sure how that works, but that's kind of what I did, actually. I was away from my family on New Year's Eve, and I walked to a bar down the street, and I decided, let's spruce things up a little bit. So I wore a lucha mask to the bar, and a rapping luchador in front of a large crowd of drunk people at a bar will always result in free drinks, which I had no problem with. So I was the rapping luchador for New Year's Eve in front of a huge club of strangers, and I still had a blast. I missed the shit out of my family, I'm not going to lie. But it was still fun. I didn't trip and hit anything. But now reflecting on that, I want to think about personally, for me, what was the best moments of the year? And I would have to say, hands down, the best moment of the year, even though it was a span from a Thursday to a Monday, was the whole WrestleMania weekend period here in New Orleans, where I got to experience so many great cards, see so many amazing moments in wrestling history take place in my city. From watching the Nasty Boys struggle to park a car, to the streak being broken, to one of the, what I think is the moment of the year, which was my boy D-Bry winning the World Heavyweight Championship. I didn't put a WWE before that. Oops. But it was a hell of a weekend, and if anyone can ever afford it, or if it is ever near you, I suggest you take part in all the festivities. It's unlike anything else. But I don't know if any other city can do it up quite like New Orleans can. And I hope everyone else had a great 2014, but it is now 2015, and it's time to move forward. And here at The Rant, we are moving forward in a big, big way. You can listen to this program on rantemradio.com every Thursday at 7 Eastern Standard Time, and The Rant has a fantastic lineup of programming. If it didn't, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have been a part of The Rant family for so long. I suggest and highly recommend you listen to every damn show on The Rant. If you're just hanging out, go to TuneIn and listen to The Rant stream on there. Circulation, just nothing but awesome shows. Everything from The Rant, which airs live on Tuesday, every Tuesday at 8. Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. One of my favorite podcasts. I always have to throw that in. Thursdays, this show at 7. And immediately following this fine program, you get Rant and Wrestling at 9. The Wrestling Call-In Show live at 11 p.m. with William Morgan. And on Sundays, What Are You Reading? Comic Book Show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb. I was going to come up with a description for him, but that's an indescribable man. He is a superhero himself. Shouts out to Jordan Cobb. Listeners, if you have Stitcher, search Rant EM. You will see the Rant EM logo. Click on it, add it to your favorites, and you have then done yourself a favor. I'm not sure exactly what is going on with iTunes right now, but that will be straightened out because, well, we have AA taking care of things. And if you didn't know by now, you better call somebody. You should know AA is the man. And you can also listen on the TuneIn app. Many ways to listen to all the great shows that you hear on Rant EM Radio. Just always go to rantemradio.com. Join the Rant EM Radio Facebook page as well. So how about we jump into some news? Breaking news out of Cleveland, Ohio. There are lots of reality TV shows out there, but nothing like this. WGN America, which brought you Salem and Manhattan, two of my personal favorites. I know everybody out there loved Salem. It's now bringing you its first unscripted series called Wrestling with Death. This show is about a family in Arkansas who are morticians. By day and by night, they are professional wrestlers. I'll interject later. The Latham family runs the Wilson Funeral Home and the Mid-Southern Championship Wrestling League, who had a big year this year, didn't they? Husband and wife Big Daddy LaFonce Latham and Sandra Latham stopped at Fox 8 9 News in the morning on Wednesday to talk about their show. And they didn't say much, according to this article. There are already a shitload of videos for this thing. I saw the pilot episode out there online, but I didn't watch it. I'll probably check it out later after this. The series premiere for the show airs on WGN America on Tuesday, January 13th. At 10 p.m., this looks interesting to me. Where I was going to interject, I was going to say, take pro very lightly when you see these guys in the ring. It looks like their 10-year-old son is part of the roster, the show could be hilarious. You know, I'm not going to shit on anything before I even see it. Looks like Honey Boo Boo in a funeral home mixed with wrestling. Sounds like a great combination to me. Last night on Lucha Underground, we saw, as I apologize to some and hold no shame for others, who really cared? You probably forgot it that I said this. It was the first episode of the Rexplex. But last night we saw Prince Puma win a very unique 20-man Aztec Rumble. I hope I don't get shot with an arrow for that one. Which I spoiled by saying that Prince Puma would win the match, and he did. And Lucha Underground is my favorite new show. It's not my new favorite show, but it is my favorite new wrestling show from the production values, the Telemundo almost style feel. The AAA and El Rey Lucha Underground promotion will resume tapings on January 17th, 18th, 24th, and 25th in Boyle Heights, Los Angeles. The plans aren't confirmed, but the idea is to do a Saturday and Sunday taping every other week or every other few weeks through April. Lucha Underground also continues to have negotiations with several talents. They have been trying to get the Young Bucks, but the Young Bucks tweeted that they received, quote, insulting offers from the promotion. And the Young Bucks are just blowing up all over the place. So I don't know how likely it is to see them. However, Willie Mack, one of my favorites on the indies, and former TNA Knockout Sarita are also in talks with the promotion, as well as Guam Olympic wrestler Jeff Cobb, who will be starting officially on the next season. Cobb had a tryout in 2014, but was not signed. He reportedly did great in the tryout camp and had every athletic drilled down, but he's in his mid-30s, and that's what turned the WWE off to him. But we will see Mr. Cobb very, very soon in the future, as he is going to be in the next tapings of Lucha Underground for the folks that watch that show. And some other news, PW Insider is reporting that Daniel Bryan is expected to be at the Performance Center in Orlando this week to prepare for his in-ring return. He was expected to stay out of the ring, as we all thought, until the Rumble match, but he will be having a few matches at some live events. One that is already being advertised is against Kane in St. Louis on January 16th. He is also added to some other events leading up to the pay-per-view that are mostly in Texas. Following the pay-per-view, Bryan was added to events in New Mexico and Canada, and he is scheduled to face Luke Harper on those shows. And lastly, with some Daniel Bryan news, he's also going to be promoted on the 14th of February and the 15th of February for Florida shows. Some Alberto Del Rio news. WWE, former WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio, now competing as Alberto El Patron, has recently won the WWL Championship at the Three Kings Day event in Puerto Rico, and he is now the WWL champion. So, shout out to all my Puerto Rican listeners, whether you love or hate Alberto Del Rio. But on top of that, I want to give a good shout out and congratulations to Alberto El Patron, Alberto Del Rio, who I saw an interview with very recently, and the man seems happy. He seems happy to be free. I think he felt like he was in limbo from some of the things that I heard him say in that interview. But yeah, and the match in WWL, Alberto defeated then-champion Glamour Boy Shane and El Masias Ricky Banderas in a triple threat match on Monday night to become the new champion. As you know, I don't really like talking about Raw that much, but let's get into some Raw results. The WWE roster is in the ring as the show kicks off, and John Cena says he needs to apologize because he was given no choice but to act last week, and I say bullshit. There are so many different ways you could have gone into this story. It did not have to be this way. There could have been so much better writing done for this. The way the whole thing played out with Edge laid on the chair last week, and Cena had to give in. What happened to the never give up? Do you see what this is doing to me? You can hear it. I know you can't see it. Cena says Rollins threatened to snap Edge's neck and his health was most important. Cena, Edge tried to kill your dad, so you should have just ran in there and said, hey, if he gets his neck hurt, he gets his neck hurt. He tried to kill my dad, but I'm not bringing the damn authority back. But what happens, and it's too late now. I can't go back and change that shit. Before he can say anything else, the authority cuts him off. Stephanie says Cena's doing it all wrong. He shouldn't be sad. Blah, 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 blah. Sting screwed this up. It's John Cena Appreciation Night. Dolph Ziggler is told to stay put because he's defending his title against Bad News Barrett. Intercontinental Championship, Bad News Barrett versus Dolph Ziggler, the champion. They fight. Dolph rolls through and hooks Wade's arms for the surprise win, and your winner and still champion, Dolph Ziggler. Oh, no. Kane comes out and announces it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. As soon as this happens, you know it's going to be the opposite of what you originally saw. It's going to turn, the tide will turn. It's such predictable booking. So, well, huge shock. Bad News Barrett, who never lost the Intercontinental title to begin with. So it's a little piece that is interesting about this. Bad News Barrett is your new Intercontinental champion. Dolph Ziggler, from what I've heard, had some heat in the back for taking on a series of improv comedy shows without informing anyone behind the scenes of this. Which, man, if the dude wants to do comedy, let him do it. But I understand. Tell your boss you're going on a side venture. I don't even know if that shit's true, but he really is doing that. I know that for a fact. The Ascension. I've got a team who was actually coming for the Ascension. You're going to hear from them later. The Ascension crushed two local guys who were from Booker T's Reality of Wrestling. Big Show versus Roman Reigns. Why? Roman Reigns wins by disqualification after Big Show hits him with the steps. Why the hell did Big Show open the match with a spear when that's Roman Reigns' finisher? Natalya with Nikki Bella. Natalya versus Nikki Bella with Brie Bella. Paige comes down in support of Natty because there was a huge misunderstanding where Natty thought Paige gave her pot brownies, and to get out of this, on Total Divas this is, Natty drove her car into a tree trying to delay the drug test. I need to tell you something, sweetheart. Weed stays in your system for like 30 days. Running into a tree isn't going to take 30 days to clear up. Only a couple of hours at the most. Natalya won this. There was no weed in the brownies. But what does that say about people's view of Paige? Is she the diva with the weed on her? Possibly so. Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper with Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble as special guest referees. I liked how, I believe it was JBL said, "Well, this has to be a first. This has to be a first." No, it's not a first. They do it in Mexico all the time. This has been done thousands and thousands of times. Not a first. I don't think it's even a first in WWE. But what this is a waste of what could have been great story building with the former Wyatt family members. Just throwing away a match like Wyatt versus Harper or Eric Rowan versus Harper without any kind of build up or any kind of foreshadowing or going back to what had happened before is very dumb by them when they can have compelling stories based off the fact that these guys were a, in quotations I will say, family. It's kind of ridiculous. They just throw it away. At this rate, I see Rowan going downhill. I hope not. I always hope for the best with all workers, all wrestlers, all performers. I want the best. I want them all to have a job. That's why I think this uproar of new promotions and new places to work are great. Backstage, Usos and Naomi announced that they're going to take on Miz Dow and Alicia Fox. And Miz has jungle fever. Ambulance match. Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt. This is a pretty brutal match. We saw two Sister Abigails on the floor towards the end, and Bray Wyatt wins cleanly. I, for some reason, don't think that this is the end of this feud. Just nefarious endings and a clean win and an ambulance match on Raw? I don't think that's the best way to go. Somebody's not doing their job. Naomi and the Usos versus Alicia Fox, The Miz and Damian Mizdow. Blah, 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 blah. Shoving and females and things happened. Alicia Fox, The Miz, and Damian Sandow. Mizdow, sorry. Don't want to call him by his real name. They might bury him if I do that. The Ryback versus Seth Rollins and Kane with J&J Security on the outside. Cade adds himself into the match during the introductions. He whips Ryback and clotheslines him before Ryback hits a Fez press. It's the basic shit. Rollins tagged in, kicked him a few times. Ryback hit the shell shock, or went for a shell shock. Kane stopped him, calls for a choke slam. Ryback did shell shock Kane. You know me well enough by now. Rollins was still the legal man, ran in two curve stomps to take out the big guy who loves to read the secret. The big awkward guy. But at least he's getting some things off his chest. He's really an emotional guy. Feed him more inspirational books. The winners are Seth Rollins and Kane. Adam Rose versus Big E with the New Day. Big E wins by disqualification when Tyson Kidd and Cesaro jump out and crazy outfit people. Full body suits. Turned out to be Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. They were in the Exotic Express all along. Who would have known? I'm going to skip through a lot of this bullshit. Basically gets to the end, and Ryback, Eric Rowan, and Dolph Ziggler are all fired. So I guess that's opening some room for some NXT guys to be in the Rumble. See, what are they going to do? I guess Ryback can go to MMA. Dolph Ziggler can continue with his stand-up career. And Eric Rowan's just going to have to go back to roaming the forest and playing chess and building model airplanes. Did you know he's in Mensa? And that's your Raw review. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope it was painless for you. I hope the pain that I went through is in reverse of the pain you did not feel through my... Now, this is getting painful. With this, we will take a break and come back with a lot more of the Rexplex. We'll be right back, folks. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Rexplex. This is your host, Rex Watson. Right now, I would like to talk about the show that is definitely, so far, the show of 2015, and that is New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom. You had on commentary Matt Stryker and good old JR Jim Ross, and this is something that I've been waiting countless years for as a fan of Japanese wrestling. I had not watched New Japan for years, very long time, since the 90s, probably, most likely, since the 90s, because I had been waiting for English commentary, and a lot of the Japanese wrestling that I used to watch when I was younger was the deathmatch stuff with Foley and Funk, a lot of the FMW, and things like that, but it was great to see this type of event, Wrestle Kingdom, which is essentially the WrestleMania of New Japan Pro Wrestling, called in Japanese, broadcast in America. It was worth staying up for me as a longtime Japanese wrestling fan. Now, on the pre-show, which I did not see because I chose to watch in English, you had the New Japan Rumble. Saw a lot of interesting characters entering this thing, one of them being the Great Kabuki, which was interesting to me. I want to go back and find this match. I was a big WCCW fan growing up. There was Pinfall. It was a Rumble match entrance, who sat in a dugout, which was another unusual thing about this one, besides the entrance and the match. Nagata, the old-timer, won this match with a pinfall backdrop hold. You could eliminate in this match by either tossing over the top, pinfall, or submission. And I believe the reason this was done... Do you remember when the Iron Sheik won the gimmick battle royal? It was because he was not able to take the bump over the top. This was done in order to protect a lot of the older guys so they wouldn't have to take those falls over the top. They could just get pinned. And Yoshihashi was pinned by Nagata, who won. And your opening contest for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles, the champions Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly take on the Young Bucks, Alex Shelley and Kushida of the Time Splitters, and the Forever Hooligans, Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov. Now, to be honest, I was a little let down by this match, but understandably so, as these four teams, are probably four of the best tag teams in the world today, and they didn't really get as much activity in as you would normally expect from them, but I was not completely upset about this because there was a lot of show to go after this opening contest, this officially opening contest. So for what it was good. The Young Bucks hit the Meltzer driver, but eventually Bobby Fish and O'Reilly hit Chasing the Dragon for the win. This was a good match. It wasn't bad by any means. This was a good match. It's just, I think they did not go full pace because of what they had following them. And you don't want to be a dick and have the best match in the first match of a show like this. The next match we had Satoshi Kojima, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Hanma against Jeff Jarrett, Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi with Karen Jarrett. This was kind of a waste. There was a miscommunication spot with the guitar, giving Hanma the big headbutt spot off the top rope. Your winners, Hanma, Kojima, and Tenzan. This was kind of just a filler. It was short. It didn't go too long. It was just right. Next match, we had Mara Fuji and Shane Haste and Nichols, all from the NOAH promotion. Also, Toriyano, who is the weirdo. He's the weird man with the DVD or the book that he's always carrying around, against the killer elite squad of Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith Jr., and Shelton X Benjamin and Takashi Azuka. Mara Fuji, Shane Haste, Mikey Nichols, and Toriyano won, which was another short match, but still showcased all of the people in the match without dragging on, which was another good thing. WWE can learn from this. In a UWF rules, which is knockout, TKO, or submission, we had Kazushi Sakuraba of MMA fame against Minoru Suzuki. And this was, a lot of people hated on this, and a lot of people loved it. My dad personally loved this one, because when these guys slapped each other, they slapped the shit out of each other. When they hit, they really hit. I don't think AA liked this one. Just guessing. They went all over the place, and Suzuki eventually won the match with a submission, but there was a lot of all over the place. Slaps, 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 hard slaps. By the end of the fight, the match, Sakuraba looked like he was beat red in the face and he was about to cry. Now for the next match, the never open weight title match. People are saying what never actually stands for something. I don't know offhand what it does. Open weight title match, which means there are no weight limits for this title. And this match was stiff as hell, and it was told a good story. There was a lot of no selling by Ishii that I didn't think was necessary. Yet this was my match of the night. And we saw a title change as Togi Makabe, who idolized Bruiser Brody, hit the knee off the top rope to the back of the head, which was a trademark of Brody. And your new never open weight champion is Togi Makabe. And the next match, we had the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title on the line with Taguchi taking on one of my favorites, Kenny Omega. And I loved Kenny Omega's new persona, new look, changed his hairstyle. He's great at being an asshole. He's great at playing up the heel thing. Kenny Omega's just awesome. WWE missed the boat on him pretty bad, and I don't think he's ever going to... Well, who's to say? Who's to say? I'm not getting into that discussion with myself. But this was a pretty damn good match. I always love seeing Kenny Omega. Taguchi's pretty damn good. Kenny Omega won. Your winner and new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion is Kenny Omega. Next match, another championship match. The IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Karl Anderson and Doc Gallows of the Bullet Club taking on Shibata and Goto. They fully documented Goto and Shibata's long history, going in together, being friends, being enemies, and then going after these titles, which was a great story to be told during this match, as Shibata and Goto won with a variation of the go to sleep into a kick. It was a very interesting combo. Good match. Congrats to Goto and Shibata for retaining the titles. I mean, for winning the titles. The only thing about this that I take away is I love Shibata's single matches. I actually got back into New Japan by watching the G1, which was why the G1 Climax, all 16 or so days. And that whole thing was awesome. I would say day 7 was one of the best events of the year, but it's really hard. There were so many days, so many nights of good wrestling. Next match, AJ Styles against Naito. And I believe these guys had a great match. They had an awesome match during the G1. The whole match, the commentators were playing up how dangerous the Styles clash was. Towards the end, Naito goes for a top rope Hurricane Rana. AJ Styles reverses it into a Styles clash off of the second rope. And your winner is AJ Styles. For the IWGP Intercontinental title, we had Shinsuke Nakamura taking on Kota Ibushi. Kota Ibushi is a younger, wild, high flyer. Shinsuke Nakamura is the flamboyant, arrogant, tried and true who has moved his way up. He's also one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. Nakamura is awesome. I just love his mannerisms, his facial expressions, his knees. Boombaye. Nakamura won this match after several knees, a sick boombaye to the back of the head, and secured the pinfall, and is still your IWGP Intercontinental title holder, Shinsuke Nakamura. What I like about the IWGP Intercontinental title situation is this. This is the second to last match, and the IWGP Intercontinental title is damn near just as important as the IWGP Heavyweight title, almost like the Intercontinental title for WWF was in the early 90s. And I like that it means something. And pretty much the story after this match is they shook hands and Nakamura kind of brushed them away a little bit that, hey, it's not your time yet, kid. I'm still the guy on top. And in your main event you had for the IWGP Heavyweight title, champion Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on Okada. Many people thought Okada was going to win this, saying this is Okada's time, he's on the rise, he's on the come up. But this was a back and forth match. I was really, really into it. To me, it sounded like the crowd was dying down, which was very unusual for me to even think that, because the crowd is often always so silent in a Japanese event, but they were pretty damn hyped during this show. Towards the middle of the match, I kind of figured out how I thought this was going to go. And about 30 minutes into the match or so more, Tanahashi wins with the high fly flow to the back and then another high fly flow, I believe. I'm going off of memory alone. And you're still your IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi, winning with the high fly flow over Okada to close out a kick-ass event. It was worth staying up and being delirious the next day. This event was awesome, and I think this is going to turn a lot of heads to the New Japan product. I think a lot of people, will have their eyes open. And I haven't heard anyone say one bad thing about this show so far. And I'm not surprised because this was done so well. Because, I mean, you had people from different promotions. You had guys from ROH holding the ROH tag team titles there. You had Kenny Omega, who has not been seen in New Japan in quite some time. You had the Noah guys, as I may have already mentioned. And to see imports like Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer, Shelton Benjamin, who Jim Ross accidentally called Shelton Times Benjamin, I believe. But we'll let that slide. He's Jim Ross. This was an awesome show. There's nothing more I could say about than that. And I can't wait till the next one. I look forward to it. And if you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend you go check this out. This thing was awesome. It was a really cool show. Can't say more great things about it. Let's see. Okay, I believe right now we have the team who... We have a few guys. We have two guys here who would like to say something. And I'm going to let them speak their minds real quick. Come on to the studio, guys. Here they are. Prescription, telling you to take your medicine. Right now, I'm going to get into some news. Some kind of sad news. A dude I grew up listening to a lot, Stuart Scott, has passed away. I want to say condolences to his family. Rest in peace, Stuart Scott. He died way too young at the age of 49. I know everyone already knows this. This is late reporting, but I just wanted to say rest in peace, Stuart Scott. It was a voice I heard a lot in my childhood growing up. Another bit of bad news, independent wrestler Tim Roberts, who infamously appeared as the zombie on ECW, passed away overnight. No word yet on how he died. He was 38. Roberts was trained by Hall of Famer Johnny Rods, and he helped out around the school in recent years. And he was in the Northeast Indies, and he also spent quite a deal of time in Puerto Rico. And from what I heard, anyone in ECW who was offended by the whole ECW zombie thing, he had approached personally and apologized for, as that was not his idea. He was just trying to get the paycheck, so rest in peace to the ECW zombie. Rest in peace to Stuart Scott. In some MMA news, I watched... Boop, boop. Everyone, I can hear people changing the show. This is very light, people. I watched much of the UFC event on Saturday, and I was rooting for Jon Jones, who has been one of my favorite fighters since I saw his third fight. I predicted that this guy will be a cornerstone of UFC, and I was correct. He won the fight against Daniel Cormier, but UFC light heavyweight champion John Bones Jones has tested positive for cocaine. Jones reportedly tested for positive ahead of his UFC fight at UFC 182, but as of now, it does not appear that the decision will be overturned. So that counts as a W for Jones. He tested for a primary metabolite of cocaine, which isn't banned from competition by the World Anti-Doping Agency, but it definitely should be. And here are my reasons for this. I used to be a huge Pride fan, and what I would always hear stories was the constant cocaine usage going around to hype up the fighters before their fights, and there was a lot of cocaine going around. And if Jones was doing cocaine to hype up for a fight, that's a performance enhancer. If it works for you, I would not suggest doing any drugs before a fight. UFC President Dana White issued the following statement. I am proud of John Jones for making the decision to enter a drug treatment facility. I'm confident that he'll emerge from this program like the champion that he is. And I say I hope he does, because John Jones kicks ass. He's a very polarizing figure in the world of MMA, but he is a great fighter. He's probably, pound for pound, the best fighter around right now. I would say, definitely, in my opinion, he is the best fighter. So best of luck to John Jones, and I hope he bounces back right on his feet, where he does well when he's kicking and striking like nobody else. With that, I'm going to move on to Impact's debut from last night on Destination America. This is the first ever time where on the Rexplex, first time ever in my life, I have taken notes on Impact. So this these notes are very sarcastic. I was feeling very silly last night when I wrote these, not sure why. TNA Impact on Destination America. We have Josh Matthews and Taz on commentary. We opened the show with a hype video showing several stars arriving to the building. And then a huge brawl breaks out after MVP says there's no time to waste making a statement. The brawl is broken up by Angle, who is the director of wrestling operations. He makes all the matches for tonight title matches. MVP cuts him off and says that Angle has lost his luster, and he also says, and I quote, he doesn't have balls and he's done. Kurt said, yes, I am done. I am done as director of wrestling operations as soon as I'm done making these matches, and I have been cleared to wrestle 15 minutes ago. And he makes a street fight between MVP and himself. And that match is now. They start brawling, commercial break. Come back, many submission attempts from both men. And Kurt actually looked well. He was bumping well. He didn't look like he was hurting himself. He was moving all right, which I was shocked by when I saw the promo for Impact coming back, showing Angle in his wrestling gear. Backstage, we see EC3 with Tyrus. Carter says something about commitment, and he's coming for the whole thing, and Tyrus is going to bring the funk against Rockstar Spud. They say Mike Tenay will still be a part of the family, even though Josh Matthews took his spot. Mike Tenay talks to James Storm about Storm's new version of the Wyatt family, which he is calling the Revolution. Storm says, do you believe in God? Did your mom warn you about the devil? Because she should have warned you about me. Which is straight out of Wyatt's script from 2 weeks ago. I hope this faction works out. But I heard a lot of Wyatts in there. Maybe a lot of Bray Wyatt and the way Storm was talking. And the fact that he's being this cult type of leader to get followers. It's just very reminiscent. And match number two, we had the champions Storm and Abyss defending against the Wolves. Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards. The Hardys came down to watch on. There were four dives in tandem from the Wolves, to which Taz said, I've never seen that before. Don't know why that was my Taz accent. Taz must have never seen PWG before either. We have chokeslam attempts from Abyss. Kicks and double teams. Bad tattoos were all on display during this match. Sonata and Manic interfere on behalf of the Revolution. Hardys jump in to equalize the situation. In all of this confusion, Storm hits the last call super kick on Edwards, and the Revolution retains. Storm and Abyss still the tag team champions. Weird dance club music plays, and backstage, EC3 says, "Come hither." Commercial break time. Come back from the commercial break. MVP is screaming at Lashley backstage. King runs in and is like, "Hey, what?" And then they push him away. Bobby says, "It isn't about you, MVP. It's about getting the title back." Good old JB Borash introduces EC3. And he then debates in unison amongst the crowd very loudly whether or not ECW... The crowd debates loudly in unison whether or not EC3 can wrestle. Cool shit. EC3 calls out Spud. Out comes Spud. Tyrus attacks Spud from behind. And then the feed that I was watching cut out for about 2 minutes. I saw a light. I tried to walk towards the light. I hit my head on the TV screen, knocking over and breaking my TV. I switched to my iPad to see Borash has gotten a fresh fade in the ring. Nice hair, Jeremy Borash. The next match was for the X Division title. You see a short video package about the X Division and its lineage, which is nice. Low-key, the champion, defending his title against Austin Aries, who is a 5-time X Division champion. The crowd chants, "This is wrestling," which completely threw off the destination viewers who thought they were watching Redneck Blood. Low-key does a variation of that kick that I like. It was a decent... Destination America did a decent job of trying to censor a lot of the holy shit chants. There was an odd struggle in the corner, which seemed like there was a lot of miscalculation between the two men, if that even makes sense. Austin Aries hits the brainbuster out of nowhere. No new champion. Austin Aries... I don't know why this would happen. It didn't make sense. Key hasn't had the title long enough. And this makes me concerned that Low Key might be leaving. I don't think he is. I'm just concerned that he might be leaving. There's one thing I forgot to mention about the opening of this, which really stood out. And as soon as MVP had grabbed the microphone, the crowd was chanting, "Shut the fuck up." And I thought... At first, MVP had let something slip, but I realized they were trying to censor the crowd, "Shut the fuck up" chants, and it was lovely to listen to that. That was awesome. Where did I leave off? Okay, the Knockouts title was defended in a Battle Royal. Before the Battle Royal started, we got Welcome Back Robbie E, who says he kicked Brooke to the curb, and she's a floozy. This was a battle royal. Taryn Terrell had her title on the line. I liked it. We actually saw signature maneuvers and some actual moves and a battle royal. The ending was botched as Havoc was supposed to powerbomb Gail Kim over the top rope, and Gail Kim going for the Hurricane Rana, reversing Havoc, have Taryn Terrell creep in from behind and hit the legs of both to knock them onto the floor. Taryn Terrell retains. Havoc comes back in to punish Terrell. Lights go out. Lights come back on. And I scream, "Oh, hell yeah." That was a horrible Austin impression, Rex. Awesome Kong is back. One of my favorite female wrestlers of all time. Finally, Awesome Kong is back. Awesome Kong face to face with a Havoc. That was a moment. Havoc retreats. Referee Stifler gets in the face of Kong, which is not a good idea to do, and Kong hits Stifler with a stiff choke slam. Welcome back, Amazing Kong. Some might know her only as Karma, but she is in TNA, and I couldn't be happier about that. So far, I am very impressed. They have done a much better job stepping their shit up, and I wonder if it has anything to do with the negotiations between the company, the television company, and the company Impact, TNA themselves. There's more about that I want to get into. Main event for the world title, Bobby Roode defends his title against Bobby Lashley. It was a physical match, back and forth wrestling. King and MVP outside the venue were shown on a side screen trying to sneak in two masked men. Security stops them and says the two masked men cannot come into the building. Lashley is very dominant towards the end. Roode catches Lashley with a powerbomb out of the corner. My feed cut out. And then I cut back in to see that Bobby Lashley is the new champion. And there are people all over the place. So I missed the last few minutes of this show. My take. Very, very good, strong first show on a new network. I have to give TNA props for that. And kudos. And also, the surprises were nice. There was a lot of rumor that Del Rio would show up maybe next week. I didn't buy into any of those rumors or why people were so sure about that. And I'm putting up rabbit ears here, most trusted journalist in wrestling said that Alberto Del Rio would make a run-in in that final match, but he surely did not. This was an awesome show. No, it wasn't awesome. It was for TNA to come back like this, I thought it was damn good. They did a great job. So props to TNA. I'm not going to shit all over you this week. I like the Wednesday spot, but they're moving to Fridays. And Friday is not a good night for wrestling. So we'll just have to see what happens. But as of now, they're on good standing with me. They are doing cool shit so far. Bringing back Kong was a plus for me, definitely. With that, I am going to take one more break, and we will be back with Tony C to talk about the year that was, and basically just shoot the shit and catch up. So stick around, be back in one moment. Enjoying what you hear so far? Want to hear more of the Rexplex week after week? Send us feedback at therexplex@gmail.com. Tweet us at therexplex. Or join the Facebook group page at www.facebook.com/therexplex. Up. Welcome back to the Rexplex. It is me, Rex. I'm going to get into some quick indie news before we bring Tony C onto the line. First of all, there's a DVD coming out, which is PWG's Black Cole Sun, which I can't wait to see. I've already had it spoiled, some of the things that had happened. I will not spoil any of this for you. I'll just tell you what you can look forward to once this event is released. A six-person tag team match, ACH, AR Fox, and Rich Swann against Bobby Fish, Johnny Gargano, and Chuck Taylor. A singles match between Cedric Alexander and Adam Cole. A singles match between Chris Hero and one of the biggest indie standouts of the last year, Trevor Lee. For the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Tag Team Championships, you'll see Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan defend against The Addiction of Daniels and Kazarian in a fatal four-way match, Biff Busick versus Brian Cage versus Tommaso Ciampa versus my man, the One Man Nation, Uha Nation. In a tag team match, Chris Sabin tags up with Matt Sydal, formerly Evan Bourne, to take on the Young Bucks. Now tell me that is not going to be the shit. For the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Championship match, Kyle O'Reilly will take on Ricochet, and I will speak a little bit more about Ricochet. I cannot wait till this DVD drops because PWG never disappoints. Coming up this Saturday, CZW presents To Live Is To Die at the Flyers Skate Zone. That will be on January 10th at 7:30 p.m. The current lineup is Black G's defending the CZW Championship against former champ Sozio. OI4K, Dave and Jake Chris defend the tag team titles against Pepper Parks and Papa Don, who are now known as The Body, The Bomb, and The God. CZW Wire Champion Joe Gacy will take on the very impressive Jonathan Grisham. Team Tremendous of Dan Barry and Bill Carr will be facing the Beaver Boys, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds. These two teams are teams you should look out for. Extremely entertaining, extremely talented. Bucks Belmar will battle it out with the Dirty Daddy Chris Dickinson. These are two dirty guys. It's going to be a dirty match. Alex Colon takes on the very impressive Speedball Mike Bailey. Nation of Intoxication's Lucky 13 and Devin Moore will face Matt Tremont and the big guy, not Ryback, Stockade. So if you're in that area, New Jersey area, go check out CZW. I'll probably get a free stream from one of my friends who work for CZW. Oops, at least I didn't drop a name. The best wrestling in the South, Wildcat Wrestling, wants to know, this is my home promotion. Are you ready for a double dose of Wildcat? For the first time in 3 years, Wildcat will be having two back-to-back events. There will be a tournament to crown the new Wildcat heavyweight champion over the course of two nights. And also, we are going to pick right back where we left off with the war between Wildcat and Booker T's reality of wrestling. I will be there. Booker T will be there. But I'm pretty sure there's a better chance Luke Hawks will deal with Booker T. I'll probably just sit and watch. I will definitely just sit and watch. It's going to be awesome. You will see Bestia Say, the Wildcat Revolution champion, defend against the son of the original Rey Mysterio, El Hijo del Rey Mysterio. You will also see the mysterious Q. You will also see Jay Spade, One Man Mike Dell, quite possibly Steve Anthony, other stars of Reality of Wrestling, Socorro. This is a stacked card, and there's many, many other guys who are not even announced on this. If you don't know what Wildcat is, go to YouTube and type in Wildcat webisode, web series, and they are awesome. The best pro wrestling in the South. And for my last piece of information before I bring on Tony C, Ring of Honor returns to pay-per-view to celebrate its 13th anniversary in Las Vegas on March 1st, 2015. It will start at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. It'll be from the Orleans Hotel and Casino. No scheduled matches, but stars signed to appear are the ROH World Champion Jay Briscoe, the ROH World Tag Team Champions Red Dragon, the ROH Television Champion Jay Lethal with Truth Martini, and of course, the guy's got a lot of people in a buzz about where he's going to pop up next. International star Alberto El Patron, formerly Alberto Del Rio, as well as the phenomenal AJ Styles, Tommaso Ciampa, and many more. I look forward to seeing this pay-per-view as well. Let's see. I was going to get some of my year-in-review things out of the way since we did not do the year-in-review show. I'm going to do it really quick, and you might criticize me. The wrestler of the year for me is Ricochet, tying with Daniel Bryan. Well, not tying. Up there was also Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, and Okada. The female wrestler of the year is easily Candice LeRae, with honorable mentions to Paige. Tag team of the year is hands down the Young Bucks. the event of the year is all of WrestleMania weekend, if not WrestleMania itself. Close runner-up is NXT or Evolution. And the match of the year, Sami Zayn versus Adrian Neville from our Evolution, tied with the combo of Bryan's two matches at Mania. And also an honorable mention, the Young Bucks versus Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan. And that's that. I am welcome to anything you have to say about that. That was very Japanese and indie, I know. I refrain from much of the mainstream that you would normally see. And that's about it. That's about that. That's that about that. And it's about time I bring on my good friend. I feel like it's been a while since I talked to this guy. I'm going to bring on Tony C. He's a low-key G named Tony C. He knows everything about wrestling. He's a low-key G named Tony C. That's Tony C. That's Tony C. He knows everything about wrestling. Yeah, that's a low-key G named Tony C. That's Tony C. He's a low-key G. That's a low-key G. Yeah, what's good? You're back on the Rex Flex. Everything that I am doing by none other than my homie Tony C. What's good?
What's good, Rex Watson, yes.
It's good, man. It feels like I haven't talked to you since last year.
It actually hasn't been since last year.
Yeah, so how's your new year and everything for you?
Hey, man, everything blessed, you know, glad to be here. It's the honor and the privilege to be on that, which is called a Rex Flex, and kicking it with you for a few tips.
You are always welcome.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm honored.
And you even got a theme song now.
Oh, okay.
You didn't hear it, but you'll hear it in a little bit.
Okay.
Everybody else just heard it, but you didn't get to hear it.
Okay.
I know that's a little messed up. Everybody else got to hear your own theme song before you.
I mean, it happens, man. I'm just honored to have an actual theme song, you know. Hopefully you did me justice.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to love this one. It's great.
Okay.
And also, man, when you hear about the prescription, the new tag team, you're going to be pretty excited about them.
The prescription. Okay.
Yeah, that was earlier on. You missed the prescription. I think you were at work or you were shopping or something, getting some grub.
Well, hopefully, you know, when I take a listen, and I'm hoping to hear that, because it sounds like it's all good.
It's always all good on the Rexplex.
Yes, sir. It's all things with you.
Pretty good. I'm kind of a little exhausted and moving a lot, traveling, kind of wore me down, but I'm finally getting back into the normal groove of things, and that's all good.
Yeah, that's always a good thing, you know, because you do too much moving and shaking, man, stuff starts falling apart, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, I threw my back out working a newspaper delivery route, and I'm like, damn, I'm getting old. No, I didn't want this to happen.
Well, you know, nothing gets old but the clothes, man.
That's what's up.
Nothing gets old but the clothes, man.
I was going to talk to you about the last Raw of the year and the first Raw of the year.
Okay, we can delve into
briefly
that.
I don't know how much time we got on the clock still, but we could talk about whatever. And I was going to also talk about top stories.
Okay, well, let's hit up the last Raw more so than the first one.
You're always on the Super Cena thing. Where was Super Cena when Edge had his neck down?
He was there. You see, he sacrificed himself. You know, the authority for the betterment of, you know, somebody's life. That is super. That's what a superhero would do.
But then you get all your boys fired. Well, that's the worst friend of the year award. I'm not sure if anybody had that in their reviews on their shows or on their blogs or whatever. Worst friend of the year goes to John Cena.
Of course.
He didn't help nobody. In that Survivor Series match, the name of the team, Team Cena, Ziggler is out there by himself fighting three people for Team Cena. He's getting fucked over left and right, and Cena is nowhere to be seen. Ziggler wins the match. Cena walks right out to celebrate with him and get that glory.
Still it shines.
Worst friend ever.
That's what I tried to tell Surfer when that happened. He didn't celebrate with him. I'm like, dude, you stole the man's moment, man. That's what the dude is, a glory hog. Glorified, yeah. Personified glory hog. But, you know, I don't want to turn this into a Cena bashing moment.
No, that's not what I intended.
They seem to come along so, you know, so often. You know, it's not like people go out of their way to be a bash John Cena. He just gives us so much ammunition.
Yeah, he does give you a lot.
You just got your homeboys fired, you know, in storyline. Yeah, of course. But still. And then I know you saw his look at the end. It was priceless. Like,
yeah.
The look at the end was like, I could see Surfer doing that same look for him. Like, stop. What was I supposed to do, you know? Let him break his neck? Like, yeah, that's what some people would have did, but, you know.
Didn't Edge try to kill John Cena's dad once?
He bitch slapped him.
So wouldn't he be like,
What do I care about his neck? Yeah.
Wouldn't he try to at least turn into Super Cena and try to just storm in there and take everybody out? And if Edge got it, then Edge got it. He shouldn't have messed with Cena's family.
Well, you see, that's what he did anyway. Once Seth was like, well, I'm going to break his damn neck anyway.
Yeah.
Remember that? And then he jumped in the ring. But, you know, a lot of fans, you know, WWE, they don't give us smart fans credit. Like, you're going to save the guy that damn knocked the hell out your dad in his living room.
Yeah.
You gonna save him.
Yeah, he came up in his house.
Exactly. A smart Marks would have been like, break his neck. I remember what he did to my dad.
Exactly.
But that's the reality.
Just saying in real life, and personally, me, that's how I would be like, but you remember that one time when you came up in my house uninvited?
You bitch slapped my... Didn't he do something to him at a pay-per-view or something too? Ringside or something? Was that Edge that did it again? Somebody messed with his dad.
Orton did that.
Oh, that was Orton. Okay. But, you know, moving on toward that, those guys getting fired, that was priceless, you know.
But I don't know, the Philip J. Sousa song, whatever, and the confetti falling down and...
Oh, you mean the Susan G. Coleman?
No, that's the name of the Sousa, that song. That they played at the very end of Raw.
Oh, you're talking about,
the song that they played at the very end.
Congratulating John Cena in the NWO.
Yeah.
Coming down. That was priceless, man.
That's just like, I don't even get mad anymore.
Oh, no, it doesn't, you just laugh at it, and then you do, and what you do, you get all the ammunition and you just pick and Surfer about it. You know he's gonna get agitated. Exactly.
You build up.
He can't take it.
Build up the ammo. No, he can't take it.
No, he's not. And then when you jump him and it's like two or three of us on him, he really get defensive. Yeah, like it's hilarious, man. I know it doesn't make for a good, like, you know, a lot of people say you can't talk about the same thing. You can't beat a dead horse, but when it comes to Surfing, that, you know, you can hit that nerve. I don't care what nobody says.
If the dead horse is like multicolored and every time you hit it, different new shit comes out the horse, you're like, whoa, didn't expect that. That was good. you're gonna beat that horse. That's so. It's kind of what it's like.
Has a come to Jesus meeting with me and say stop messing with John Cena and Surfer. Hey. I will keep doing it. Because, no, it'll be different if he just admitted the guy has flaws. But when you can't admit that somebody has no flaws, that's why people keep going at him, man.
And Surfer is my dude. It's no disrespect to him personally. It's all in fun.
He is the big...
But it's just how he'll defend... It's just how hard he defends him and won't He'll defend every last little fault, no matter how much proof there is.
And he can, John Cena can be caught on tape murdering somebody with the knife in his hand. He did it in the study with the with the lead pipe. He got like on Clue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Clue.
The old Eddie Murphy Raw defense wasn't me. It wasn't Cena. Okay.
It wasn't Shaggy.
It wasn't me.
They even caught him in the bathroom.
They even he had on a green shirt with jean shorts and Reebok shoes were found at the scene. Wasn't him. Armbands.
They found armbands on the scene.
Somebody could have planted those armbands.
There was a list of future Make-A-Wish future Make-A-Wish obligations in the bathroom.
Somebody could have made a copy of that. Okay. Perfect. Dude, they found a pink Susan G. Coleman shirt that said, never give up. It's not on that extension stand, okay?
That crack you heard was not that was not a can of beer. That was pamplemousse. That was La Croix pamplemousse, which I drank because I heard from John Morrison, who heard from Dr. Andrews, that it's really good for your digestive system.
There we go.
So
getting digestive tips from there we go.
Johnny Mingo.
About the triple threat. I know we got unlimited time here.
Yeah.
I was thinking, since they put him in that match, I told Double A and the guys on Tuesday, Seth Rollins is going to be in that match. He has the Money in the Bank, and he has he's supposedly going to be in the Royal Rumble. How would you feel if he not only was in the Royal Rumble, won the Rumble, and the title, and had the briefcase?
That'd be crazy.
I will mark out, because as a simple fact, it's never been done before.
I was thinking, what if he lost in the match, tried to cash in, and it didn't work, and then came out early in the Rumble and got thrown out real quick?
Oh, no, man.
No, they would never do that. They would never do that. But I was thinking about the possibility of him losing the match and then cashing in after. I think a lot of people, other people have thought about that.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to think that may be the way to go with it. But I was, me being a master heel guy, nowadays I love the heels. So how would you feel? What bigger way to get heat on yourself? You're the WWE champion. You won the Royal Rumble. And you got the Money in the Bank briefcase. That would be awesome. That was actually something that they tried to do back. I don't remember.
I was about to say that. I thought they got close to doing something like that.
WCW tried to do that when they had first the Giant when he won World War III.
Yeah.
And Hogan was the champion, and he didn't. He was basically saying, "Now since the Giant won, I don't have to defend the title." You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he was not only basically getting a bye until whenever, and it never worked, it didn't work out that way. But I'm just thinking how cool that would be. Of course, you have your little wrinkles in there to make him defend the title, of course, or whatever, what have you. But, that would be kind of awesome. Or if you didn't win, if you don't win the title, at least let him win the Royal Rumble. And had the Money in the Bank briefcase. Nobody's ever done that.
That'd be interesting too.
I
like this about the Rumble this year. Is there's more, so many more possibilities.
Well, yeah, no. If they bring Daniel Bryan back and just let him win the Rumble, that would be stupid.
No, I heard something about what
and he's gonna win it.
No, I heard what they're planning to do.
What is that?
Sheamus has been growing out his hair and his beard. Mm-hmm. And he's going to eliminate he's going to eliminate Bryan. I'm serious.
Kind of like a Miz Dow type thing?
No, not like that. He's just going to, no, just to become a major heel. He's getting more grizzly looking and more dirty looking. And so if that way by him, because they wanted to finish that feud somehow, like over a year ago. And I heard, and this is from someone who knows people who work at, so it's traveled like that. That's how I got this. That will put so much heat on Sheamus that he'll be an instant mega heel for all the people that want Bryan to win. And if he comes back with a different look and throws Bryan out, then he would be like a mega heel after that.
Oh, heck yeah, that's major heat, man. That is the heat they're looking for.
That's the heat that, yeah, that's the kind of heat that Sheamus needs if they really want
him to be a heel.
And how long have we been saying he needs to be a heel?
All the time.
We always talk about how Sheamus needs to be healed because he's bland and boring. You can't get over on pale skin and red hair.
And that's just like Orton. Yeah. Orton does not need to be a face.
No. Orton's better as a heel.
Yep. No one cares about Randy Orton as a face. No one cares about Sheamus as a face. Period.
Do you have an event of the year?
SummerSlam, no doubt about it. You remember what happened that night?
Yeah, SummerSlam. Yeah, that was incredible.
Nice, Super Cena died.
Yeah.
That is my event of this. New era, WWE, reality era, last 10 years. SummerSlam is my favorite pay-per-view.
Yeah, me and Rage talked about how we could watch that match over and over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what, Rex? Not to go back on Cena bashing, but I just want to say one thing. I want to ask you this question.
All right.
You know, Surfer likes to talk about this, that, and the third as a face. But do you remember a face champion ever getting dominated like that in a match? Think back over the ills of time. A face champion.
I'm trying to think. The only thing No, because Bret Hart wasn't champion when at WrestleMania 9. Yokozuna squashed somebody, but Hogan came in and won the title, but I think
That was Brett.
Yeah, who?
He squashed Brett.
Yeah, he squashed Brett, but Brett wasn't the champion, I don't think.
Brett went in as champion, Yoko won it from him.
Yeah, Brett went in as champion, Yoko won it from him, then Hogan came out and won the title.
And then the next year, Yoko lost it.
Yeah.
To Brett.
That's the only one I can really think of, and that was by Powder in the Eyes.
Exactly.
That's
how you beat Brett.
Yeah.
So, just think about that, sir. When you want to talk about his boy in the L's of time, no one that I know, that I've seen, even when Vader beat Sting for the WCW title that time,
He
hit his head on the post. He hit his head on the ring post.
Yeah.
Cena hit his head on the mat. Numerous times.
Damn, what was I going to say next? Do you think that...
Go ahead.
No, you can keep going.
No, I was just going to say, I'm going to give the devil his due, though. He's the only one that can take those journeys like that.
Yeah, you got to... I mean, if you look at the Extreme Rules match from, I don't know, 2 years ago?
2012.
With the chain, where he hit Brock with the chain, but Brock whipped his ass most of the time. And the match we're talking about right now, you got to give Cena his due for taking that.
Yeah, I'll give him his due. He's the only one that could. Because of that neck, man. It's the delts. They'll do that for you. It allows you to get dropped numerous times.
Do you have a wrestler of the year?
Brock Lesnar.
That is completely different than my wrestler of the year. He's not even.
Who had a better year than Lesnar?
Ricochet. I don't know if that counts, though.
I'm not too familiar.
Yeah, I'm going all over the place.
Okay.
If I was going WWE, I might say Seth Rollins.
Right. Rex, check this out. Look at this year. Start off 2014 beating them.
Wait. Yeah, no, we got into this at one point before.
Then you break the streak.
Yeah, yeah. No, go ahead. No, let it out.
Then he won the title. And then after that, he lost. Okay, he lost by DQ to Cena, but he's a heel. So.
Yeah, that's supposed to happen.
He can lose that way. Exactly. And then, yeah, he only fought, what, 4 times the whole year? Damn it if he didn't look good doing it.
Three out of four.
So, you know, they gave Seth Rock Roman Reigns because they had no choice, basically. They weren't going to let him leave empty-handed, per se.
Yeah. All right.
That's a superstar.
Top 10 stories of the year in no particular order. The rise of New Japan. You didn't watch anything from New Japan.
I didn't know how to get it, man. If somebody, you know, directs me to.
That's what you need. That's what you need. You need somebody to point you in the right direction. That's why I didn't get into it until I saw a few things. And the way I was able to put up with the commentary is because when I was when Foley was doing those matches in Japan, I used to order a lot of those VHSs. Or trade with people.
Yeah, I remember those days. The deathmatch scenario, right?
Yeah, The introduction of new promotions, like Lucha Underground, Global Force. I don't know if you could really consider that. Global Force didn't do anything.
Yeah, but it could lead to something different.
It already looks like it could be. Yeah, it couldn't. It could go in a good direction after how successful and the buzz that Wrestle Kingdom got.
Yeah.
And TNA, ROH, WWN Live, which is Dragon Gate USA, which is done. Lucha Underground. All that. That's top story. The rise of NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah, NXT is awesome.
NXT is, yeah, like you said, it's awesome.
I like that they could tell a story, have a few good matches, and showcase almost everybody on the roster in about 1 hour.
They wrestle on there, man.
Yeah, they really wrestle. They put on good matches.
Yeah, it's good wrestling on there, I should say so.
The Death of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. That tripped me out, especially because I was here. Daniel Bryan wins at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, even though we didn't want that to happen.
No, they didn't want that to happen at all. The launch of the network.
Yeah.
The streak is broken.
Yeah.
CM Punk versus WWE. That's the top stories.
Yeah, CM Punk. Phillip Brooks, as I call him.
I heard they're going to call him CM Punk when he fights, if he does.
Well, he owns the name, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so. Que sera, sera. See. I will call him Phillip Brooks and call it a day.
I just hope they chant. I hope when he fights, they chant AJ Lee.
You know they're gonna flash to her.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
They're gonna flash to her on site.
Now, I don't want to repeat what somebody else, already, other people have already been saying, but how he said he couldn't take what Ryback did to him, and you know, you're not supposed to hurt me. I was just getting too much. I was getting hurt. I didn't want. Now he's going to go to a place where they punch you in the face as hard as they can.
For real?
What kind of sense does that make?
Well, I guess he feels like they're going to pay him for getting beat up like that, I guess.
Yeah, and you have to fight a lot less, but you gotta train your ass off.
Yeah. What was that, Rex?
So we got about. I guess we gotta cut this short. Anything else on your mind you wanna talk about? We got just a few minutes left.
I just wanna say that Mickey James, I read on the internet, the little boy came out with three fingers up in the air, and he's walking around right now with armbands on, so on his body.
I gotta give you a round of applause.
Magnus, you might want to call Mari and call Dana.
I would love to see that episode of Mari.
Dana, Mark, you know what? Magnus, Dana doesn't lie, man. Dana doesn't lie. That's all I'm going to say. But, yeah, man, I enjoyed being on, Rex. It was an honor and a privilege, my man.
I appreciate having you on.
Thanks, man. And nine times out of ten, if you want me to come back, I have the time, you know, I'll make it for you, player.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. And make sure, thank you for checking out this show. Make sure everyone who's listening checks out The Rant every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Tony C., do you know a little something about that show? 8 p.m. The Rant on Tuesday?
Just a little bit, man. But that's the house that Double A built. And, you know, I'm just glad to have a room there. That's it.
I live in the messed up shed in the backyard, and I'm happy over here.
Hey, no, man, you're moving closer and closer to the guest house.
I'll bet. Yes,
a nice little mansion.
I'll sleep on the floor.
No. That's reserved for all the C Nation shirts that somebody gives us.
Yeah, I heard y'all got boxes and boxes left over. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 9 p.m. on Wednesday with Phil and Dave. On Thursdays, you can listen to this awesome, fine program at 7 and Rant and Wrestling, which follows at 9. The Wrestling Call-In Show live at 11 with William Morgan. And on Sundays, What Are You Reading? Comic Book Show with Surfer and Jordan Corn on the Cob at 5 p.m. as well as pre- and post-shows for your every pay-per-view. I think... I just made that nickname up on the spot.
On the spot?
Yeah.
On the liver spot?
On the...
Not a spot,
the dog? What was that? That was from somebody said that.
That was Kevin Nash. Impersonating Arn Anderson. For giving up his spot. And the horse... It would be an honor. And can I say one more thing, too?
Yeah, you could say.
Baza and Harry, the Brit of the network. Screw the Brits. You guys don't deserve the network. You should just stay over there with your freaking cups of tea, your freaking queen, and.
The band is the old lady.
Both. I think we should send John Cena over there. And another thing, they allowed Magnus to get out. They're to blame for Magnus. That's why we hate the Brits. There it is. Mega powers.
That's why you...
found the reason.
I'm gonna find out the real reason eventually. I'm gonna find out the real reason eventually why you got to beef with the Brits.
I just told you.
Because they let Magnus over here?
Exactly. They allow Magnus to be born, and they didn't have birth control, and now he claims to have a baby by Mickey James, but his baby says hustle, loyalty, and respect. So,
that's that music played when the baby came out.
No, that's the music she plays to put him to sleep.
Your time is up. Your time is now. You can't see me. The baby just goes to sleep. Yo, with that, we're going to end the show.
One more thing. All right. If he's watching WWE Raw and you see Cena, you're going to say, da-da.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Yes, it will. It is.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Follow on Twitter at the Rex Books. Like us on Facebook. Join the crew for discussion. Listen to all the killer shows on the rant. I want to thank Tony C for joining me.
My pleasure, man. It was fun.
And for everyone, stay positive. Keep a positive mind state, even if shitty wrestling is happening. And zip it in and zip it out. This has been the Rexplex. Good night, folks.
Bear witness. Create rap music because I never done disco. Because I never done disco.